Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We are to put on the entire armor of God in order to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And it starts off with truth. You've got to put on the belt of truth. You have to fight the devil with truth. You can't believe lies and stand against the devil. You've got to stand in the truth in order to defeat him.
How do we stand against the enemy? The truth of God's Word. God's Word gives us the power to be victorious over the enemy, but we have to know how to fight, what weapons to use, and have the confidence to know that because of Jesus, we have been given great power over Satan. With Luke 8:26-40, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are greatly blessed to be here tonight. We thank you for what you have provided for us, but even more so, we thank you for what you are doing in each one of our lives. And we open up ourselves to you. We invite you in. We pray that you would touch our hearts. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. It is our desire to know you, to walk with you. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, this may come as a shock to some of you. Most likely not. Hollywood really doesn't care about accuracy. Have you ever noticed that? I don't think the television cares much about accuracy either. My mother was a respiratory therapist for 20 years. And if any of you guys are married to nurses or respiratory therapists, I want to give you a little bit of advice. Don't watch any medical shows with them because they will drive you insane. That was my mom. My mom was, that's not the way they do it. That's not the way that they would break a rib if they did it that way. That's not the way they do it. They didn't do that. Oh, that is silly. I got to the point where I told her, Mom, I'm not watching any more medical shows with you at all. It was about a year later. We're watching TV and there's a show on the life of David. It was the worst show, movie that was ever produced on the life of David. You guys know which one I'm talking about? It's the one with Richard Gere. Richard Gere plays David. And it is awful. When God tells David that he cannot build the temple, David says, instead, I'm going to build a house for you. The Bible says that David falls on his face before God and thanks God that the Messiah is actually going to come from the house of David. He's blessed. In this movie, when God says, you can't build a house, when God tells Nathan and Nathan tells David, you can't build this house for me, this temple, but your son's going to do it, he gets a baseball bat. I don't know where he got a baseball bat from. But he gets a baseball bat and he busts up a little model of the temple at that point. And I go ballistic. I'm like, that is so inaccurate. That wasn't David's heart. I'm going nuts. And my mom goes, I will never watch another show that has anything to do with the Bible with you again. And then she had to gall to tell me, because you make it miserable. What? The title of our message today is Legion. There is a movie out now that is incredibly inaccurate when it comes to angelic and demonic beings. And we're in the middle of a series now that is entitled Encountering Jesus. We're looking at the different encounters that Jesus had with individuals as as Jesus made his way through his ministry, the different people that he interacted with. We've seen that he set people free, that he forgave the sins of a paralytic before he healed that paralytic. By this, we get to see the heart and the interaction of God with us. Sometimes we think that God is just up in heaven with a big bat waiting for us to get out of line so he can crack us with it, instead of understanding that nobody pulls for you more than God does. Instead of understanding that God cares for you in a greater way than you can ever imagine. It turns into a cliche, but it is so true, and there's no better way to say it. God loves you. He loves you deeply. He loves you, and he has a plan for your life. Now, I wanted to spend a few minutes before we look at this account of Jesus. He encounters a demoniac in a place called Gadarea, place of the Gadareans. He encounters a man who is severely demon-possessed. Before we get into the details of this particular account, I want to just kind of share with you what the Bible has to say about the demonic realm and our authority as Christians over the demonic realm. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that he created principalities and powers as well. These principalities and powers would be angels and demons. But a third of the demons fell when Lucifer thought that he could exalt his throne above God's throne. Now we might wonder, how could anybody look at God, look at the throne of God, and think, I'm going to exalt my throne above his throne? We need to understand something about sin. It is incredibly deceptive. Pride is incredibly deceptive. And he got to the point where he thought he stood back, created by God. The Bible says that he was clothed in jewels. Did you know that about Lucifer? That he was clothed in jewels. Can you imagine Lucifer standing in the presence of God and the glory of God shining all around and reflecting from the presence of those jewels? That Lucifer, he must have looked at himself and thought, I'm beautiful. Look at me. I can exalt my throne above the throne of God. And when he did, God said, but you will fall and you will be thrown down. And the Bible says he was thrown down into utter darkness. And to be away from God is to be in darkness. God is light. When you are away from God, you're in darkness. God is goodness. To be away from God is to be in evil. God didn't create evil. The absence of good is evil. The absence of light is darkness. God never created darkness. But if you choose to walk away from the light, you find yourself in darkness. God didn't create evil. But if you choose to walk away from the goodness that is God, you find yourself evil, and that's where Satan is at. Satan was evil, and he took a third of the angels with him, and they fell as well. Now, the Bible tells us, and you know, Satan is all about smoke and mirrors. We're going to see here in a minute that it says that we are to put on the entire armor of God in order to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And it starts off with truth. You've got to put on the belt of truth. You have to fight the devil with truth. You can't believe lies and stand against the devil. You've got to stand in the truth in order to defeat him. And if you do stand in the truth, I want to give you some verses that Jesus gave us. One of them I've quoted already. Behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Satan would love you to think that he can come against you. That, you know, you hear a noise in the middle of the night. Oh, I heard somebody out in the hallway. Heard something growl. Heard some footsteps across the floor. I think it's the devil come to get me. Well, listen, all the devil can do is growl. All the devil can do is make noises against you, Christians. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, the evil one cannot touch him. Now, don't get me wrong. Satan's got you marked with a bullseye. Satan would love to take you out and make you ineffective for sharing the gospel of Christ. But he's got a scheme, he's got a plan, he's got tricks to try to trick you into it, because he can't come forcefully towards you and do it. You need to understand that. You need to have great confidence that the enemy cannot attack you outwardly. You do not need to fear that. You have been given authority and power over him. The Bible says that Jesus made every principality and power, that he defeated them, that he made Satan an open spectacle, that he created all principalities and powers. And if he created them, then we can have great confidence that we are not going to have the enemy attack us in an outward way. I also want to say that you cannot be, as a Christian, you cannot be possessed by a demon. Now, the Bible warns us against winds of false doctrine. We know that they're out there. That's why we have to gird our waist with the belt of truth, because there are winds of doctrine that are out there. And I've noticed something about the winds of doctrine. They have a tendency to blow on a circuit. They go around and around. And this particular doctrine that Christians can be demon-possessed has gone around and around and around. Any of you guys old enough Christians to remember Derek Prince? Some of the things that he did? He held meetings where he believed that if you had a demon inside of you, you needed to throw it up. And so they had deliverance meetings that they handed out barf bags to everybody that came in. And before the night was over, everybody in the room would puke. It would start off with one person, because this is what, you know, this was the move of God. If that was a move of God, and I don't believe it was, but if it was, I'm so glad God didn't call me into that move. Could you imagine? Every day I go to church, somebody throws up, because I would lose it. I lose it picking up dog poop. I don't know why. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm outside picking up some dog poop, and I'm gagging while I did. I thought, I gagged when I was 12. I'm supposed to be over it by the time I'm however old I am. I'm supposed to be done with it completely. The truth is that the enemy doesn't have any power over you. Well, the Derek Prince story, I got to tell you the rest of that. He would have somebody throw up. Somebody would throw up while they were there. And that would make somebody next to them throw up and somebody next to them throw up. And pretty soon there was a barf-a-rama in the entire place. And you can imagine that happening, can't you? Because I'm telling you, if somebody threw up next to me, as soon as I got a little bit of a smell, where's my bag? Where's my bag? And it would go on and on and on from there. Isn't that just disgusting? Now, here's the thing. As a Christian, the Bible says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. The Bible says that if you invite Jesus in, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody will open that door, I will come into their lives and dine with them. Jesus dwells inside of us. How can Satan dwell inside of us if Jesus does? Talking to an individual who believed that you could be possessed, said, well, you've got to understand that the human body is made up of compartments spiritually. Really? Compartment spiritually. I think I've read that a lot in the Bible. Haven't you read it? Was that in 3 Thessalonians chapter 4? I don't know exactly where I read about compartments, but here's what he said, that the devil lives in one compartment and God lives in the other compartment. So in essence, your body to them is like an apartment complex. Jesus has a rented apartment. The devil has a rented apartment. Do they meet in the hallway? Hey, how you doing? Well, a little rough today. Yeah, I know. And, you know, kind of move on. Obviously, that can never happen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't say greater is he that is in you than he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than the one that is out there. And you've got to understand, folks, we are the ones that win. We are not fighting from victory. We are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. The race is already won. The battle is already been done. It is time now for us to walk in the confidence that we have in bringing the message of the gospel. Now, before we get into this account, I thought it would be good for us to consider the armor briefly. I'm just going to want to cover this. There's just two or three things about the spiritual battle that are pointed out in this text that I think are very important. So look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, I've heard people teach on this before, and they say what this means is that you've got to work yourself out spiritually. You got to pray more. You got to read your Bible more in order to get spiritually strong, to be able to defeat the devil. I disagree with that. I don't think that's what that's saying. I think we ought to pray more. I think we ought to read our Bibles more. I think we ought to be more spiritually minded. I believe in all of those. I think we should do all of those things. However, it says be strong in the power of the Lord and the power of his might. This means that I have things right in my life and that I am walking with the Lord and I find myself strong in him. Because even though I've been given authority over the devil, if I take on Satan, Satan fights Robert Furrow. It's done in a fraction of a second, and Satan wipes the floor with me. However, if it is Satan against Christ in me, the hope of glory, Satan gets wiped up in just a moment. And so we need to rely upon him, not upon ourselves. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says that you might be able to stand against the wiles. The word wiles there is the word schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, did you note there it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? You got a problem now? You got an employer that's just being a jerk? I can say that. You can't say that. But you got an employer that's just, and you think this is my problem, or people that you work with that are your problem, or maybe a problem within your marriage. You think if my husband was just better, if my wife was just better, or a problem with your kids, and you think, you know what? This is a wrestling in flesh and blood. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, knowing that there is spiritual activity taking place behind the scenes. And I have said before, and I believe it to be true, the spiritual is more real than the physical. Now, we're here in this physical world. We feel it now. We're sitting on chairs. We're living in physical bodies. But this temporal, this physical is temporal. It's going to pass away. The spiritual will last forever. And that is why I say it is more real to understand that. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We need to call out upon God. We need to ask God to bind the enemy in our lives. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Note the way that that's said. Take up the whole armor of God, that you are able to withstand the evil day. There's a day coming that Satan has piled everything up for you. You want to have the entire armor on to be able to withstand that evil day. And having done all, then you stand. You put on that armor, and you don't got to run around being fearful of the enemy or fearful of the devil. But at that point, you stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We understand that, don't we? Listen, I don't want to believe a lie. I don't even want to approach the Bible with what I've been taught or what I believe, trying to make it fit into what I believe. I want to approach the Bible to know what I want to believe. And if I believe something that is different than the Word of God, then I want to change what I believe. I want to be one who is submitted to God. The Word of God is the authority within my life. That is the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus went on to say, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that life comes from the truth. So you have to gird your belt with the truth. If you believe a lie, there's a problem. You have to believe the truth. He says, gird your waist with the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is one of the main areas that the devil attacks you in? You're a sinner. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. God's not happy with you. That's what the devil does. He keeps us at a distance from God. But anyone who calls out upon the name of the Lord can have their sins forgiven you. John, writing in the book of 1 John, as an elderly saint, by the way, some believe that he was as old as in his 80s by the time he wrote the book of 1 John. John said, I write this to you, my dear children. Very, very affectionate. He says, I write this to you, my dear children, that you might not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus wanted you to have a breastplate of righteousness so bad that he went to the cross. And they drove the nails through his hands and into that tree, and he bled for you. As they mocked him, he died for you because he wanted you to have a breastplate of righteousness. He wanted you to know, I am clean, I am holy, I am pure by the blood of Jesus upon the cross. And when the devil comes and says, oh, you blew it yesterday. Yeah, but I confessed my sin. And God has forgiven me. You wear the breastplate of righteousness. He goes on, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he's talking about spiritual warfare. And he says that we need to put on the boots of peace, the gospel of peace. Everywhere we go, we take the gospel of Jesus with us. Without even speaking it, Jesus said, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. And you need to understand that spiritual warfare is not about you keeping the devil from destroying you. Spiritual warfare is about you taking the freeing message of Jesus and setting people around you free with the message of Christ. That's why here, part of the armor is having our feet prepared with the boots of the gospel of peace. And then it goes on, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy's just shooting fiery darts at us. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. When an army would attack a city that was a walled city, and they would shoot fiery darts or fiery arrows into that city, they weren't looking for anything to aim at. They just shot the arrows over the walls because they wanted those things that were in them there to catch on fire. The enemy does. He shoots arrows into your mind, trying to get your mind to catch on fire. Ladies, you get an arrow from the enemy. Your husband doesn't love you. Your mind catches on fire, and off you go. Fellas, you get the dart. Your wife doesn't care about you. And your mind catches on fire. God's never going to forgive you for that sin. And your mind catches on fire. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to catch your mind on fire and undermine the work of God in your mind. That is why we bring our thoughts subject to the obedience of Jesus according to 1 Corinthians. We are to bring it subject, put out the fiery darts with faith. What is faith? I trust God. I believe him. I believe God. I trust him. I know God's got the best for me in mind. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation, knowing that we are saved, that by receiving Jesus as our Savior, we have eternity, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The very word of God is our battle. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Jesus came back four times and said, "It is written." When the enemy comes against us, we use the word of God to say, "Here's what the Bible says." The devil says, "God hates you," and you say, "Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for me, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me." So you use the word of God to fight against the fiery darts of the enemy. Eve, when she was tempted by the enemy, Satan twisted the word, and she twisted it as well. So they were not staying true to the word of God, and she ended up falling into temptation. Now it goes on to say then in verse 17, taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Perseverance, that's patience. It's making sure that we keep watch, that we don't grow weary, that we persevere to this end, and all supplication for all the saints, so that we pray for each other and we lift each other up. Now, with that in mind, turning back now to Luke chapter 8, I'll have to abbreviate the section on where we stand with the enemy, which is to say the enemy only has a place in our lives if we open ourselves up to him. Now we start in Luke 8, verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadareans, which is opposite Galilee. So this story opens up with Jesus and his 12 disciples on a boat pulling up to the area of the Gadareans. The Sea of Galilee, by the way, is a beautiful area. The area of the Gadareans, there was Jewish settlements that were there. There were also Gentile settlements that were there. We're going to find that there was a herd of swine that were about 2,000 in the area, which, by the way, is a big herd of swine. Now, maybe they were owned by Gentiles, maybe they weren't. There's been a lot of speculation on that. I don't really want to deal with the speculation. I just want to say the facts. Here they are with the Gadareans. There were Gentiles in the area. The pigs could have belonged to anybody. Verse 27. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him with a loud voice. "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now, in this section of scripture, we are seeing Jesus' authority and power over different things. And here we see the power of Jesus over the demonic forces. The demons are so subject to him that before Jesus even introduces himself, the demon falls down upon the ground and says, "What do you have to do with me today?" He then goes on, verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound in chains and shackles and broken bonds, and was driven by the demon into the wilderness." You can imagine this poor, tormented man. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.